Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Look on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome into the playbook. It is hashtag WTF Wednesday. What's the focus Wednesday? Is there any question what the focus is today? I wish it were, you know, perhaps talking about how to exploit a wounded Seattle secondary. And maybe at some point we'll still get a chance to discuss that before all is said and done, you know, here in very short order. But I think we probably all know where the focus will end up at least being for, you know, the next little bit, because I understand there are a lot of people who may be a little upset. There are a lot of people that are undoubtedly confused. In fact, I think that's the number one thing right now that seems to be prevalent: confusion over everything. I'm confused myself, people. So let me start out by saying that everything that is said from the next hour and 50 minutes or so, no, I'll take ownership of it. I'm not going to backtrack like that. I'm definitely going to take ownership of it. But it's going to kind of come and go in waves, because literally details are coming about almost by the minute, by the hour, and I have to have time to process this. And I think you, more importantly, need to have time to process this information. And once we do that, then we can come down to some sort of a definitive answer of who is right, who is wrong, who is fair, who is not. You know, these emails that we've been reading and seeing about people who are disgusted and turning in their jerseys and they're not going to let their kids go to school because they're going to get picked on. I mean, whoa, settle down. Calm down. Just because we have some people who like to speak loudly, and hell, I know, I'm one of them sometimes, doesn't necessarily mean that they speak with authority. It also doesn't necessarily mean that they speak with truth. There might be some truth, but we need to get to the story. And this is why people, journalists, reporters, need to have time to vet this and then also have an opportunity to explain it to where we don't get, you know, people going off the deep end from a half cockamamie reason that they heard that, oh, well, the Patriots are cheating because they're deflating footballs. Or, oh, it's more of just the same. The Patriots are cheating like they did with Spygate. How long have they been cheating? Have they been cheating once? They've been cheating 1,000 times. It's not that simple. It never is that simple. Now, for instance, I got a tweet forwarded to me. It got posted on my Facebook page, and I'll tell you how you can do that again in just a second if you don't already know how to do that. It was sent to me from Dwayne Allen, who's the tight end from the Indianapolis Colts, and he tweeted to NFL on Fox, and he said, you know, in large part that this quote-unquote Deflategate is not a story. They could have played with soap for balls and beat us, simply the better team. We have to continue to build. Now, that's a stand-up guy right there. That's a stand-up guy. And I really believe that's part of the reason why you're hearing nothing from the Colts right now. And that's why, while, you know, Chuck Pagano may have said something yesterday or the day before, he's not saying anything now, because it's not going to benefit him. It's only going to make him and his organization and his team look like it's sour grapes. And we all know the truth. This much we know. Can we at least agree on this much? Whether you overinflate or whether you underinflate a football, it had nothing to do with the outcome of the game Sunday. Nothing. Zero. No pressurized football is going to be the difference between a team scoring 7 and a team scoring 45. It's just not going to happen. So for those of you who still believe in your Patriots and believe that there's got to be something more to this story than what we're seeing come out of the media now, hang on. My own son, the rookie, you know, he's, you know, ostracized in Milwaukee because he's the lone Patriot fan out there. You know, and of course, he's also a burgeoning member of the media. As many of you know, he's trying to study to become a talk show host, a play-by-play guy. He kind of wants to follow in Dad's footsteps, and God help him. But I'm, you know, if that's what he wants to do, then who am I to tell him he can't go follow a dream if that's his dream? And yet, you know, he texted me right after the story broke again over the 11 of the 12 balls being underinflated that Chris Mortensen from ESPN put out at about midnight Eastern time last night. And he's texting me at 12:02 saying, "Oh, it's true. Oh, my God. What are we going to do?" And I'm like, whoa, settle down. Settle down. Just because Chris Mortensen says so doesn't necessarily mean that there is unequivocal truth to every aspect of it. Like, this is a cover-up and that these footballs had a definitive outcome in the football game? No! No! Come on, people. I'm not a Patriots honk. You know that. How many times have I been accused on this program of being too hard on this team, for those of you that like to wave the pom-poms? I've been called Mr. Negative. Eric Scalavino from PFW, he's been called Mr. Negative. We're not negative. Nobody's negative here. My training is as a journalist, and I'm right down the middle. I happen to work for a team website. I write a column, and I host a talk show. And I've said this many times before, and I will say it again right here, right now. I couldn't work for a better organization than the one I currently work for, because they give me a chance to use my voice and a chance to use my talents, and that is to play it down the middle. In fact, when we first discussed doing this 14 years ago and we launched radio programming here on Patriots.com, we said, look, you know, this is all fine and good, but we're not going to come in here and we're not going to, for lack of a better phrase, we're not going to be ball washers. That's one thing we're not going to do. We're not going to do that. If you want legitimacy in what it is you're trying to do, then you have to allow us to do our jobs and what we're trained at doing, and that is to be journalists, to be reporters first. And they agreed wholeheartedly. And we've been doing that ever since. So while we kid around and we have fun, and sometimes it's a clubhouse and sometimes it's a locker room and we take shots at each other, look, that's all in the interest of being entertaining. That's all in the interest of building a following. That's all in the interest of you know, hopefully giving you some information, but trying to do it in an entertaining enough way to where you'll come back and you'll visit with us again tomorrow. Or you'll interact with us, you know, whether or not it's on the website or here on the show or via social media. It's so we can, you know, we realize, and I think I can speak for the PFW guys and the organization here in this small regard, very small regard. We realize, you know, what we do is popular. And that, you know, anybody who follows the team and has followed the team for a number of years, you do it because you have an affection. You have you're a fan. You have a love. Maybe it's an attachment to a place you used to live. Or for whatever reason, you follow the Patriots years ago because they were the sad sacks of the NFL. Whatever. But we know you're here because you like the Patriots. You watch the Patriots. You love the Patriots. Whatever you want to do with the Patriots. We understand that. And so that's why we're here. We're here to be a conduit, to give you a connection, to further that connection with your football team. That's why we're here. But in order to do that effectively, we have to be able to show and tell both sides of the story. And so that's what we're doing here and now. This whole Deflategate issue, we wrote about it yesterday here on, you know, in the View from Above column. We talked about it all day long during the program yesterday. We're going to talk about it again today. I do hope at some point in time we're able to focus on football. I realize that even this is probably better than talking about Pro Bowl rosters, of which there will not be a member of the Patriots on, because they've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
So, but if it weren't for Deflategate, then that's what we'd be talking about this week, and we probably would be playing Game Show Thursday tomorrow. I think we've decided, you know, even though, believe it or not, Kevin, we got
just looking at
the emails,
the email,
yeah,
and before you've even finished your open, the phone lines are full.
Okay,
and that tells us all we need to know.
That's all we need to know. That people want to get their 2 cents worth in on.
And people want to vent.
And if you want to vent, that's perfectly fine. That's what we're here for. And that's also another reason why, even though I got a vote in the affirmative yesterday for game show tomorrow.
That was before midnight.
That was before midnight.
when Mort went on TV
and said his thing to SportsCenter. So, you know, we're going to table all the fun and games for at least a while because we feel like, and again, I'm trying to do this in the best interest of everybody. I like to have fun as much as anybody. I like to be entertaining as much as anybody. I hope that I'm entertaining enough where you keep coming back to the program and you not only want your information, but you want some opinion with it and you want to have a little fun along the way. And that's what we say in the open of this program every day we come to you during the football season, you know, and some of the fun stuff in between. And so I like to have the fun stuff as much as anybody, but there's bigger issues involved here, and I understand where a lot of the anger and a lot of the venom is coming from because people feel duped.
Yep.
People feel like they've been misled. I feel like I've been misled.
Yeah, it was though. It's almost similar to the other incident we've had.
Yes.
In terms of being misled.
Yes.
You're hearing a lot of the same vernacular.
You know, I'm down the hallway from these guys. Our studio, our radio studios are steps from the locker room. Steps. Okay? So we see these guys every day. We talk to these guys every day. Nobody's here today because this was a day off. You can imagine it'll be a three-ring circus here tomorrow.
Yeah, and you and I were talking before the show. Hopefully the league releases some sort of
statement.
The
league needs to come out and say something, or it's going to be chaotic here.
You'll have CNN here. You'll have all these.
You'll have all the networks.
And the press conference will be aired around the world.
And Coach Belichick.
It'll be open season.
Whether he's right or he's wrong, and I'm not going to cast aspersions right now because, frankly, I don't know everything.
We don't have enough info.
We don't have the information
and those,
to cast an aspersion.
And those people writing in saying that he should be fired or suspended.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What is this, some kind of witch hunt? It's not Salem 1500.
Right. You don't know what you're talking about. When you call for someone to be fired, and I listened to Stephen A. Smith
say. Yeah, before you know the facts.
You know, Stephen A. Smith was talking on local radio here today with WEEI, and he's saying at the very least, you know, Bill Belichick should be suspended for a year. Whoa. You know, I mean, that's Michael Wilbon-ish, and I railed about Wilbon yesterday saying that the Patriots should be expunged.
It's ludicrous.
You know, these guys are only saying it for the shock factor, people. They're only doing it so we
so
talk
ridiculous.
About it. Thank you, Bill. They're only doing it because we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, whatever happened to, like, you know, what everybody in the military fights for in this country, you know, innocent till proven guilty, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's a good point, Kevin.
You know, it's like, let's let this process play itself out.
We need to do that.
Yeah, and let's get a verdict from the league, right? And then once you get that verdict, John,
then you can
talk about potential punishment.
We can digest.
But it doesn't make sense to go on this witch hunt and be, you know, at Bill Belichick's door with pitchforks and torches ready to, you know, run him out of town when you don't even know for a fact what went into this.
You don't.
I wish people would just take a moment and take a breath and just realize that you need to let this process play out, and then we can be angry or disappointed.
You should come in here and co-host with me for the
hour. I feel like today, honestly.
Well, you're the one that's having to answer the phones.
Yeah.
You're the one that's having to, you know, screen the emails. So your job is a thankless job today as well.
But I feel like we're here in PFW and you, yourself and Bob, we're here as almost therapy for our listeners because our listeners are all over the country, all over the world. And they're the ones taking the beating at the water cooler.
Oh, there's no question about that. And for those people, I truly feel your pain because you don't know what to tell your 8-year-old who's saying, "Daddy, did the Patriots cheat?"
Yep.
And honestly, the answer to that question is not simple. I don't even know what the honest answer is right now.
Well, right now it's we don't know.
We don't know.
It's basically about all you can give.
We don't know.
And that's a crappy answer.
It is a crappy answer.
But we hopefully will know more. You know, we hopefully will.
It's a horrible answer. Look, if anybody thinks that myself or Kevin or the PFW guys or the players in the hallway, if you think anybody wants to be associated with cheating, you are sadly mistaken.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're talking about, you know, now dragging in not only innocent people, but people who work hard, people who have dedicated their professional lives, their careers to the cause here of trying to create a better organization. Forget the football stuff. Forget the winning and the losing. We're trying to make things better for people who work here and for people who follow this team. It's what we do every day. And so for us to be dragged into this, we're all the Patriots. Oh, you work for the Patriots? Ah, you're a cheater too. No.
No, that's the last thing you
want to
hear.
That's the last thing that we want to hear, and that's the last thing we want to be associated with. I've spent my entire professional career banking what I do on my personal integrity, because frankly, I think that's the only thing that you take to your grave when you leave this planet. The only thing you can take with you is your integrity, because everything else is worm food. Pardon me, but that's just the way it is. And I plan on taking my integrity with me. I don't make a habit of lying. Have I ever told a white lie? Sure I have. Have you? Of course you have. You do it probably every day and you don't even realize it. But when it comes to issues of right versus wrong, of truth versus injustice, of cheating or playing fair, I'm going to play fair. I always do.
And you want to win fair, right? You want to win honestly.
Absolutely want to
win
honestly.
On a level playing field.
That's why when someone says, oh, hey, so-and-so got injured. Oh, that ought to make it easier for you to win. Well, I'm kind of like, well, it might, but you know what? I'd rather beat somebody when they're at full strength.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, and you can't do anything about it if somebody gets hurt.
You want to beat another team at its best.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it if somebody gets hurt, because that's just the nature of the game. It's the nature of sport.
Yep.
You can't control it. But if I had a druther, I'd druther beat somebody at 100% strength.
Yeah, when you're holding that trophy up and the confetti's falling, you want to know, I took that guy's best shot.
Right.
And I'm the best team in the
world.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think also, John, you and I feel that way. I think there's a lot of guys down the hall, John, that feel that way.
I can guarantee you everyone feels that way.
And that's why I have such a hard time wrapping my head around this.
We all do.
That's why we all want to know, you know, all the facts or as many facts as that are going to be made available to us in the public or in the media. I want to know all that information before we start making judgments on other people's character.
Correct.
You know?
So I'm not casting aspersions here. I'm not going to talk to you today about, oh, what should the NFL do to the Patriots? What kind of a penalty are we going to get? I'm not going that direction. Okay, because there's no direction to go. Now, if the NFL says something tonight, then tomorrow's program, well, you know what we'll deal with. Today's program is for you. If you're listening live, you need to pick up the phone.
There's obviously a lot of you that are, because the phones are jammed.
Okay. If you can't get through on the phone, if you want to send a tweet, if you want to send an email, if you want to post on Facebook, you can do all of it. And again, I'm going to give you the little warning here. The Facebook page is my own personal page, and I know many of you have heard me say that before, but we may have some people trying us out for the first time today to see what the hell's going on down there or up there in Foxborough. What are all you cheaters doing? Well, okay.
And we're glad to talk to you.
Happy to talk to you.
We take any and all comers.
In fact, how many times do we solicit fans from opposing teams every week?
And we want criticism.
We want
as long
the
as
other point of view. I want to see the other side.
I agree.
I always want to see the other side, because you only get the real story by looking at both sides of the fence.
Yep. And if you're trying to...
This is what we do in the playbook,
If you're calling in and you're getting a busy signal, as John burns through these calls, just keep trying and you'll get through.
Eventually, if you hear somebody hang up, that's your cue to call. And if you keep trying and you can't get through for some reason, I apologize, but shoot us a note. My Facebook address is John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you're not a friend, and I've had probably 20, I think that's a minimum, Kev, 20 new friends in the last 24 hours, which is fine. I don't mind it. It's my personal Facebook page, and so I'm going to withhold the right to expunge or defriend if I have to, if something is,
don't defriend me, okay?
Inappropriate. No, you're safe.
I try.
You're safe.
One quick tweet that has come out since we've been on the air.
Yes.
And this may just put a – I'm not trying to put a pot – or I'm not trying to look for that, silver lining, if you will, but just an interesting perspective from Dan Wetzel, who's a national guy for Yahoo. He's a New York Times bestselling author.
Yeah, right.
A really well-known and respected guy in the sports media field in this country. He tweeted out just an interesting thing. He said, just about every team tries to invent the us-against-the-world persona to motivate going into the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Patriots actually have it.
Oh, yeah.
So
think about this, Pat.
So that's going to be you.
Think about this.
This will be used down the hall.
Oh, there's no question.
And so if there's a positive, John, that may come from it,
there's no question. But I'm thinking that the larger issue here with a lot of Patriots fans, while the Patriots have done a masterful job, if this is part of the story, they've done a masterful job of setting us against the world, at what cost? We're talking about the cost of personal integrity of someone like a Bill Belichick.
Which is very hard to repair.
Or someone like a Tom Brady. Or someone like a Vince Wilfork.
Yep.
Or someone like a Darrelle Revis, who didn't ask for this. He came here to win. Now he's got to put up with all this, and you're telling me that, you know, the wins that he, you know, gave up, you know, personal, you know, fame and fortune for, potential and down the line somewhere else, now it's going to be tarnished for this?
Yep.
No, he's not going to like that at all. I can guarantee you that.
Nope. But that's just an interesting take. This guy's got 230,000 followers. It was just an interesting tidbit. When you're streaming through your Twitter feed, John,
yeah,
and you're looking at all the same things regurgitated over and over and over again about this, it was just a little bit of an interesting take that jumped off the page to me that I wanted to share.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. Thank you. And I've got a couple of other links here to some other stories that I will try to share as time permits today, because, like I said, this stuff is almost happening by the minute. Let me at least bring you up to date on what we know right at this moment, you know, in the best interest of trying to be a reporter and a journalist here. And we got this largely from several sources, but the one that we've relied on that seems to be on top of it right now is Pro Football Talk. So, and you may have already seen this, so if I'm repeating information, I apologize. But they asked some very good questions in a post that came up this morning by Mike Florio, who, by the way, we had in here a week ago in studio. Okay. Mike sat right here next to me, and we talked in the studio about a lot of different things. We didn't talk about Deflategate because, frankly, it wasn't a story at the time. Although, as we've come to find out, it might have been. It's just nobody was aware of it because this is something that germinated back in November when the Patriots played in Indianapolis against the Colts. And it was kind of like one of those, hey, guys, wink, wink, take a look at this, or be on the lookout for this if it happens again. And so, see, this is the point that I think I want to try to get across today, and then I'm going to get to you, and we're going to take your calls and your letters and your cards and all of your information today, and we're going to do the best we can to, you know, put some meaning to it without hanging somebody today. This is part of the problem. We know that the Patriots pushed the envelope. I've written about it. I've opined about it here. We've talked about it a lot. You already know this. Patriots are as good as anybody in pushing the envelope. Now, did they step over the line a few years ago? Yes, they did. Are they stepping over the line now? They might be, but we don't know yet. That's the simplest way I can put it to you, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on a Wednesday afternoon. That's the simplest I can put it to you. But, it's a big but here. I've seen a lot of those around here too. Here's part of the problem. All we're seeing here, and this leads me to believe there's real truth here, because the Patriots are famous or infamous for pushing the envelope around the league and looking for loopholes in the rules, as we've discussed many times here, this is really nothing more than another team doing the same thing to the Patriots in return. What goes around comes around. Colts are like, okay, you know, Patriots, you know, you want to play like this? Fine. Hey, NFL, kind of take a look at the footballs. That's what's happening here. I don't think the Colts are doing this. They're saying that, you know, deflated footballs caused us to lose that game. No, no, and no. That's stupid. That's just dumb. That's unintelligent. And Dwayne Allen's tweet that I talked about earlier is proof of that. What the Colts are doing, what the Ravens have done, what the Steelers have done, what any other team, what any other organization in the NFL that's not the New England Patriots would love to do is shove it back in the Patriots' face and say, all right, you want to push the envelope and try to beat us? This is us doing the same thing back to you. That's all this is. So now the Patriots need to figure out whether or not this was a fight they want to fight. That's really where I personally believe we are. Is this a fight that needs to continue, or is this a fight where the Patriots say, all right, we're going to pull back the reins on this because, you know, for whatever reason, it's attacking our personal integrity. We know at the very heart of the matter, we play by the rules here. We win honestly. We do things the right way, the quote-unquote right way. But little things like this, when people keep shoving it in our faces, doesn't make anybody look good. And I think, you know, Mr. Kraft undoubtedly has to feel that. Bill Belichick undoubtedly will feel that. Be interesting to see how he reacts to this tomorrow and how he comes out of this. I can't imagine it's going to look good. It really depends largely upon if the NFL has anything to say between now and tomorrow morning. But I look at this as, you know, all right, you want to play like this, New England? We're going to play with you. And I really think there's nothing more to it than that. That's it. Are the Patriots skirting the rules? Depends on what the rules are. My biggest issue is, and this is where Pro Football Talk helped out this morning, why didn't the officials notice the balls were underinflated? And Mike Florio says the issue reportedly arose after DeQuell Jackson, Colts linebacker, intercepted a pass from Tom Brady, and the Indianapolis equipment manager noticed something was amiss. Multiple officials touched the ball the Patriots are using on every play. The umpire repeatedly wiping the ball off with a towel before putting it down for the center. The simplest explanation is the officials either didn't notice the balls were underinflated or the balls felt no different than they do in other games. Okay. What that tells me is the officials largely just didn't notice anything was wrong. Why? Because what the Patriots have done is an accepted practice. What are the stories that came out about who's the Tampa quarterback that said that he paid somebody off to scuff up a bunch of balls before the Super Bowl?
It was Brad Johnson.
Thank you. Brad Johnson did that, right?
$7,500.
$7,500 for someone to scuff up the ball so he could grip them better in the Super Bowl. All right? And you know, okay, if we had known that then when Tampa Bay was playing in the Super Bowl, don't you think there would have been a huge uproar over it? Of course there would have been. It's because this is one of those wink, wink, hey, look what they're doing here, accepted practices. Nobody gives a rat's ass. Everybody does it. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong. It's just everybody, it's an accepted practice. And somebody has called the Patriots out on something that's been an accepted practice. It's kind of like the whole Eric Mangini thing a couple of years ago, you know? He was here benefiting from whatever the Patriots were doing at the time. Then he goes to the archenemy, to the Jets, and he becomes the rat. He becomes the fink. He becomes the tattletale. He becomes the guy that shoots the Patriots right in the very same foot that once, you know, helped pay his salary. That's a bad, you know, metaphor, but that metaphor needs some work. I'm talking off the top of my head here. Not a whole lot of thought going on here because, frankly, I'm not even sure where to start. That's how confusing all of this is. Okay? It's just because he was on the other side. He had intimate knowledge of what the Patriots are doing, and he didn't want it to happen to his team, so he called the Patriots out on it. That's how that whole thing got started. That's how undoubtedly this thing got started. Now, were the balls tested before the game? Yes. How big of a factor was the weather? Well, we don't really know. We know that when a car is kept in the cold, pressure inside the tire reduces. That's just a physiological thing. It wasn't necessarily cold at kickoff, but, you know, how it was explained was relatively balmy 51 degrees at kickoff on Sunday, a ball inflated to 12.5 PSI in a 72-degree locker room will experience a decrease in pressure with a 21-degree temperature drop. So in a 72-degree locker room, going to 51 degrees outside, if you're already at the minimum, and I think it's pretty clear to see that Tom Brady likes his, you know, his balls to be a little bit more grippable, let's say, then it's going to be underinflated when it gets to the field. So you may be legal, and I've heard theories say, well, maybe Tom Brady had a deal with the ball boy to deflate the balls or only fill them to a certain amount of blah, blah. You know what? That might be true. My guess is that it was still legal and that the weather and the conditions and everything else still brought it down. And it might be, hey, let's take it right to the limit today because we know it's going to be a hard ball to catch. So I don't want to take any chances. Let's bring it down to the legal, allowable limit. And then the pressure outside and the weather outside is still going to lower the pressure per football. So the fact that Chris Mortensen reported last night, oh, my God, stop the presses, holy crap, it's Armageddon, that he said 11 of the 12 footballs were under the allowable or the legal pressure, big deal. Think about it, people. That's what I'm asking you to do here, trying to be a little bit reasonable to your common sense. Think about it. If you ask for the football to be inflated to 12.5 PSI, that's still legal. But if it goes out in the field, and remember, we had, you know, this is 2.5 hours before a game, and we had a what, Kev? We had a 15-minute delay from the NFL this past Sunday because of the NFC Championship game. So that's going to add another 15, 20 minutes on top of it. And so you're talking about close to 3 hours of time elapsed between the time these balls were checked in a warm locker room and the time they were actually put in play. Where were those footballs during that time? In a bag on the sideline. Getting colder. Deflating. That's pretty much it. Doesn't take rocket science to figure it out. So just hold off on the, oh my God, I'm going to burn my Patriots jersey, you know, because I'm not going to root for those cheaters. Hold off on that, because you really don't know how silly you sound right now. That's all I'm going to say. Let's let this thing play out. I have to admit, I don't have the utmost confidence right now in the NFL to come out with the complete truth here anyway, based on what's been botched already this season. And as someone who's a huge football fan and has made a lot of his living over the last 30-plus years following the National Football League and covering teams in the NFL, I have to admit, wow, I feel a little queasy about this. So all I know is this is still ongoing. The NFL is probably in their best interest to try to get this to bed as quickly as possible so they can move on and then we can actually talk about football. I will still go back to what I said yesterday and what I wrote about on the column here on the website yesterday as well. Haters gonna hate. This is going to be fuel for the fire for anyone who already hates the New England Patriots.
Low-hanging fruit, as we call it in
business. Yes, absolutely. It's easy to go get low-hanging fruit. It's easy to grab and pick and take a big bite out of. And you know what? You're not changing the minds of those people anyway. So when you read all the message boards and you go online and you see all these fans hating on the Patriots and calling you and calling everybody a cheater, or you know, you got to consider the source. They're not a fan. They're not going to be a fan. They're going to be a fan of somebody else. They're probably a fan of somebody else who's been beaten by New England along the way. You weren't changing their minds anyway. So if you have your own personal issues to worry about today, that's fair. And that's why we want to make sure the phone lines and the email and the Twitter feed and the Facebook page are open to you today, because I'm sure you have your take. And that's kind of where we want to go with this. All right. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number, 855-728-7500. And again, phone lines are jammed right now. We're going to get to them in a moment. When you hear somebody hang up, that's your cue to call. That's how you do it. If you want to try another way, webradio@patriots.com on email. JR Broadcaster is the Twitter handle. And then John.Rook on Facebook. And again, I ask on Facebook, if you want to do that, I'm proud to have you as a friend. And look, there's one, there's two more right there. I just clicked on, and it's nice to meet you. But I would tell you that, you know, we're going to keep it clean. We're going to keep it civil. It's my own personal page. I love talking football with anybody and everybody. You don't have to be a Patriots fan. You do not. You can be a fan of another team. You can hate on the Patriots. But let's have a civil discourse. Because if it's uncivil or there's any kind of language that I wouldn't want to speak in front of my own children, guess what? We'll just have to go another way. That's all I'm asking here, okay? I don't have one of those, you know, silly fan pages, and I've had people tell me that I should do that. No, I am who I am. That's what I want to do. So that's really kind of where we are with this. All right. Let me see what else we got here. Let's start with, all right, who's been waiting a lot? Chad in Atlanta. Chad, you're up first in the playbook. How are you today?
I'm good, John. How are you doing?
I'm okay, pal.
So I have a question. A comment and concern.
Yeah.
My question is going to be, let's just say hypothetically, everything that's been going around is true, and we did tamper with the balls. How and when do you prove this?
You can't. You can't.
Exactly.
With the cameras and everything that are around, or people in the stands, or there's no way to get definitive proof, which is why this is becoming a witch hunt. It's stupid. I mean, you can't prove that someone put a spell on somebody like they did with the Salem witches back in the whenever the hell that was. You can't do that. It doesn't exist. Now, if someone were to have the smoking gun, I'm not sure what it would be, but, you know, if you have, you know, a ball boy saying, hey, you know, so-and-so gave me $500 to make sure that the pressure was, you know, this. Okay, well, then that would be pretty damning influence. But it, short of getting that, there's really no way to get proof. And the analogy that I just presented, that it's pretty clear to see that the Patriots like, you know, to be able to, they wanted to be able to grip the ball in wet and cold weather. And so because of that, they felt like, you know, putting it down to 12 and a half or whatever, which is the lowest legal limit, is probably what they did. And then the ball sit in cold weather in a bag sequestered for almost 3 hours. And you're telling me that nothing's going to change them physiologically? We've just had scientific proof tell us that's not the case.
Exactly. And that brings me to the comment. Let's say that the balls, you know, they're inflated to where they're supposed to be, and then they sit, you know, for a certain period of time. On the field and on the sidelines, isn't there even a more shady area that the balls could sit in to where they could even get even below?
Well, I'm sure in theory, Chad, there would be, but in a situation like what it was before the game on Sunday, there wasn't any shade out there. Let me tell you, pal. You know, it was cold. It was clammy. It wasn't even cold. It was 50 degrees. And then when the rains came, it's miserable. You know, and so that puts a chill on everything too. So you know, and the fact that we're even talking about this is kind of ridiculous because it had no effect on the game. And I think again, as I said earlier. Can we all agree this had no effect on the game? Because it didn't. And if you think it did, then you need to go back and reread. Because even the Colts are saying that.
Right.
So there's no effect on the game. What the effect here now is on the integrity of the Patriots organization in being able to operate in a truthful and sporting-like manner. That's really what is at stake here. And I think the Patriots will go beyond a shadow of a doubt in trying to prove themselves, you know, worthy of not having done anything wrong here. And if they are found to be guilty of doing of some sleight of hand, as you suggest, then guess what? There will be fines to pay. There may even be suspensions to pay. But for someone to come off the top of his head, like I've heard some of these, you know, absolute numbskull national personalities talking about over the last 24 hours saying, oh, he needs to be fired. Oh, he should be banned for a year. You have no idea what you're talking about. Zero. Zilch.
I agree. I completely agree.
But they get noticed, Chad. They get noticed because why? Because they talk loud.
Yeah.
And they have a forum, and people listen. Make up your own mind. If you really believe the Patriots cheated, then there's going to be very little that I can do to dissuade you from thinking that way. I can present the proof, but guess what? I may have a slam-dunk argument in the court of law, and I might be the best defense lawyer you've ever heard. It doesn't mean that I'm going to convince every one of those jurors my way. You don't. That's the beauty of human nature. There's always going to be a doubting Thomas.
Yep. It's innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, and that's that's why we have the rules and the laws that we do in this country, and we try to live by those. Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. All right, here's my concern. I'll let you go.
Okay.
My concern is, let's say hypothetically, once again, that the Patriots did nothing wrong. And let's say that the Colts balls were in the same situation,
and
it was a weather issue. It was a pressure issue.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see the NFL admitting
a mea culpa.
Exactly. That this is an issue, and you know it'd be embarrassing for them if this is an issue that you know is a constant thing. It's going to be embarrassing for them to own up to that.
That might be the case, and it might be. Who knows? I mean, see, we don't know what agendas live underneath the surface. You know, there are probably some people in the NFL who would love to see Bill Belichick get his nose rubbed in the puppy doo-doo, you know, and because of Spygate or whatever from years ago. And there's probably some people that have hard feelings because the Patriots have managed to, you know, buck the trend and stay championship level for 15 years. Whereas, you know, some franchises will go unnamed, can't find their way out of a black hole.
I'm concerned if that is the case, do you think that maybe the NFL tries to cover it up and just punish the Patriots anyway, saying, you know, like I said, they're going to be too embarrassed to admit of something so simple to this, they'll just say, oh, well, yeah, the Colts balls are fine and the Patriots were cheating, and then that'll be the end of it. When, you know, there's a deeper issue here, and this pressure that's affecting these balls, you know, I mean, needs to be taken care of. If that's a thing, then it needs to be taken care of. And that's my only fear, is that the NFL is going to, you know, use the Patriots as the whipping boy.
Well,
and, you know,
they've done that before. They've done that before, Chad. They'll undoubtedly do it again, and it'll happen to other teams too. My guess is they'll come up with a different protocol and figure out a way to come up with a better plan in protecting the integrity of the game if they find that, you know, this wasn't pristine. And I think that's what they're trying to determine right now. And they probably determined that it's not pristine. It's not a perfect system. So they need to come up with something that's a little closer to perfect. I don't think they'll ever find it. But they got to find something at least that's closer to it. And I think that's the case. Honestly, I really believe it deep down. That's the case. It may not be anything more than Tom Brady telling, you know, telling somebody, hey, let's keep those on the lower side because I want to be able to grip that ball better. And then when they sit there for 3 hours, guess what? They're going to lose pressure, just like your tires do on your car.
Yep. All right, well, that's all I got, John. Have a good show.
Chad, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate your time today. Trey in Memphis is up next. Hey, Trey.
Hey, John, how's it going, man?
All right, buddy.
Well, this morning, man, I was a little bit more, I was upset, you know, this morning. I think what stuck out to me is, you know, you talking about 11 or 12 balls, and then my thing is, you know, you got officials that's touching these balls each and every time, right or wrong.
Right.
So, I mean, this was getting me. You know, you got, you know, it seems like the officials, you know, somebody's not doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you got access to these balls and you approve of these balls, I mean, hey, I mean, what's the problem? So, as far as the balls are deflating, I mean, just like you said, John, it don't take a rocket scientist, man, to know these things. You know, I think what it is, you know, once you're getting the Patriots have been labeled for quite some time, so, and you all know, and I feel like the Patriots are just as hated as it. Are hated as much as the Cowboys. I mean, what do
sure.
you think about that, John?
Sure. I know. I think there's some truth to what you're saying. I like the Cowboy analogy. You know, for years, the Cowboys considered America's team, and they're still called that, you know, throughout the NFL in a lot of ways. And NFL films kind of anointed them that. And the more people kept calling them that, the more people got irritated by it. And let's face it, the Patriots are America's team right now. But we're also the team that everybody loves to hate. Why? Because the Patriots win. It's that simple.
Yeah, yes. And I think that, you know, this is just another opportunity, man, for everybody to, you know, I mean, John, just think about it, man. You know, you got one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, if not the best. One of the best coaches to ever coach in the game, if not the best.
Right.
One of the best franchises in the game.
Right. And we're seeing, yeah, that's right, Trey. We're seeing a confluence of things that are happening here that we might not see again, certainly in our lifetime. Because
right.
you've got, you know, the stature of people here that are doing things that people just shouldn't be doing, but they're managing
right.
to do it. And because of
right.
that, you know, it's the old adage, well, if I can't be as good of them as them, then let me tear them down so they can come down to my
exactly.
level. And I think there's
John,
there's a little bit of that.
Football too, man. I mean, like
yeah.
I said, John, I played football, man. A coach would tell us, hey, man, to rub these balls on the ground.
Yeah.
Man, beat these balls up against the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, you talking about.
I know.
So you telling me. What does a deflated ball, what does that have anything to do with, you know, LeGarrette Blount pounding their ass up the middle of the field?
Mm-hmm.
What they had to do with, I mean, just come on, man, you still got to play the game. I know I could care less about the size of a ball. I mean, I know the NFL has its rules. I mean, but, man, it sounds like a bunch of hogwash to me. A bunch of hogwash, John, and like I said, man, I'm behind Patriot Nation. And, you know, I'm not, like I said, I was pissed this morning.
Yeah, but
I really was.
But
was
now
pissed.
That you've had a chance to think about it, it's a little different.
And
that's all I'm asking people to do. That's right, Trey. And thank you a ton. I appreciate it.
You guys have a good one, man.
Thanks, Trey. That's good stuff out of you. This is hilarious. I'm going to read this. I just got this tweeted by my friend David here, who says, Brandon Browner just commented. Did you see this, Kevin? This is Brandon Browner's tweet. It says here, for my 2 cents, Blount scored 3 rushing touchdowns. He could have carried a beach ball. Also doesn't hurt. We only gave up 7 points. Hashtag inflate this. That's funny. Oh, that's funny. So, anyway, back to the phones. Balarco in Los Angeles. You're up next, Balarco.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm okay. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm okay, too.
We're all alive. Everything's fine. You know, nothing to worry about. Hey, you know, what did Kevin Bacon say in Animal House? All is well. Remain calm.
I'm actually not worried at all because the worst that could happen is that they're going to find us and take a draft pick, you know?
Yeah.
And it's absolutely absurd that the media is covering this as if it's Bountygate or Spygate. It's not even on the same level.
I know.
It's just a few balls.
I know. And the balls didn't have anything to do with the game.
Out of his mind.
Right.
Stephen A. Smith is out of his mind if he thinks that Patriots should be, Belichick should be suspended. The last coach who was suspended for 1 year was Sean Payton, who put bounties on other people. It's not the same thing.
I know.
And what about, like, Don Shula? He calls people the Belichick cheater. Well, what about the Broncos when they circumvented the Cavs? It's kind of like, you know, people are jealous, man. Don Shula, it took him 40 years to win all those games, and Belichick has won all these games in 15 years. Guess who's jealous?
Yeah, it's hard for me to argue that. You know, I've read a half a dozen, maybe probably more than like a dozen to almost two dozen tweets from people today who said, "Hey, you know, you were railing the other day, a week ago on Don Shula. Looks like he was right. You know, when he called Bill Belichick Belichick. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It has, absolutely
Don
doesn't
Shula
mean that.
Was on the whatever like rules committee for all those years, and his Dolphins team rarely got like penalized like back in those 70s and 80s, like." Where's the conspiracy then? Like, because I don't know what to say about that. It's just, I think Patriots fans need to calm down, stop burning those jerseys, okay? Even Raiders fans don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders fans are some of the most loyal people of their, even though their teams have been cheating and all doing all those stuff.
Right.
We need to learn from those folks.
Right.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well,
have a good day, John.
All right, that's good stuff, Balarco. Thank you. Just got this story. Sent to me that says one referee, Jim Deopoulos, who spent 11 years as an NFL on-field official and 12 years as a supervisor of officials. He made an appearance on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and was asked if he believed the Patriots are in trouble. His quote was, "I don't believe so. I think this is a non-issue, completely a non-issue. I can't imagine something like this happening." His quote was, again, Jim Deopoulos, 11 years as an NFL on-field official, 12 years after that as a supervisor of officials. His quote, basically what happens is the officials get the footballs before the game. They mark the footballs. They check the pressure of the footballs. There are so many issues going on, so many people out on the field, people that come out of the office in New York that are just walking around the field. And I don't believe a ball boy that's making $10 an hour is going to stand there with a needle in his hand taking air out of the ball. And how do
How do I sign up for that?
Yeah, no kidding. I was about to say, I can make $10 an hour taking air out of balls? Anyway, how do they know which ball they're going to send in there? And basically, if a referee or an official doesn't like the feel of the ball, he's going to throw it out. So I just think it's a non-issue right now. And that's exactly what we saw happen early in the third quarter. What happened? The game stopped. We didn't know what it was for. We saw the official pick up the ball and throw it to the sideline, and another one got thrown in. Now, we thought at the time it was because maybe the ball's wet. It was probably underinflated, and they noticed it, and they sent it out. End of story. If they had noticed another one being uninflated, guess what? They'd have thrown that one out, too. So the whole report by Chris Mortensen, come on, man. I'm going to give you some of your own medicine. There's got to be some context to... 11 of the 12 balls used by the Patriots in their 45-7 win over the Colts were underinflated by 2 pounds of air each. Right. Okay. How about a little context to that? What do you think should have been added there? Okay. Everything that I've said over the last 20 to 30 minutes, and I realize that, well, this is, you know, television and they don't have time to expound like radio or even, you know, digital or newspaper might. NFL rules state that any individuals caught altering a football or using a non-approved ball will be subject to a fine of $25,000. You have to $25,000. Now, that sounds like a chump change, right, compared to what's been had in the past. I would tell you that I think it would be very, very hard to prove without a shadow of a doubt that a non-approved ball was used in the game, that the Patriots purposely put a non-approved ball in the game. When we saw one ball with our own eyes already get tossed out, and that did not happen again. So how can the Patriots be throwing a flat ball back into the game and the officials not notice it? Come on, people, use your heads. Come on. Depending on the severity of the infraction, larger fines and potential forfeiture of draft choices could be imposed. That is what the NFL rules say. So we're going to wait for the NFL to tell us. Justin in Virginia, up next in the playbook. Hi, Justin.
Hey, John. You're doing really good here. I'm going to speak on the ball thing.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Colts are really amazing for how they handled it. And no matter how minuscule it is or whatever, if we did it, we did something wrong. And it's flat out embarrassing that the team that's allegedly cheaters and allegedly may have done something again.
Justin, I don't even like to call it cheating. Because to me, cheating is the very definition of trying to gain an illegal advantage in order to win. These footballs had no bearing on the outcome of the game. Who are you cheating?
You're right there. You're right there. And it's kind of weird when we try and use certain words to talk about such gray areas. And I'm not trying to be rude, but these fans that are trying to make it out like there's a 0% chance that we did anything wrong in the opposite spectrum that they're going to burn jerseys are just as wrong.
Yeah, you're right. Now, that's a great point by you, and that's why I said what I did at the top of the program today. You know, hold on to your horses here, people. You know, people who are going off the deep end and saying, how am I going to explain this to my kids, and I can't believe this organization has let me down again, and, you know, they're taking away from my enjoyment of the Super Bowl. What do you think these guys down the hallway are going through? They're the ones that actually had to use the blood, sweat, and tears to get to the Super Bowl. You know, forget your hurt feelings. These people are having their very personal integrity, you know, absolutely pummeled here for no reason at all over something silly and stupid and insipid and how many other adjectives can I possibly use here?
And I'm going to leave out here and with one thing more. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that the perception that the Colts are just like snitching on us or whatever and this, that, and the third is ridiculous. Because if you look at their press conferences, they're talking about how they got whooped. They are.
Yep, they are. And that's why, yeah, that's good. Good points by you, Justin. That's why I mentioned the tweet by Dwayne Allen, because it deserves to be put out. He's standing up for this. So I think because he's standing up for it, it needs to be said. Look, you know, he understands we got our butts whooped. And if the Patriots are on the receiving end of this, you know, frankly, it takes a bigger man to say you got beat. Okay, you beat us today, but guess what? Next time I play you, I'm going to try to get you again. This is gamesmanship. The Patriots, as I said earlier, have long pushed the envelope on people. Whether they've pushed it too far or not is a matter perhaps of opinion and or the history books to tell us. But really, this is nothing more than another team saying, fine, you want to play that way? We'll play that way too. So you're right. Patriots really only have themselves to look in the mirror here, whether they're right or they're wrong, whether they did nothing wrong or whether they did everything right in this instance. They really have only themselves to look at this. We kind of caused this. And that's the one thing I think, you know, as the Patriots organization probably needs to take note of here. Okay, you know, why are we in this position? Well, because we do things this way as opposed to that way. And what's the end result? I don't know, 6 Super Bowl appearances in 15 years? What? That's the end result. Is it worth it, the price? If it's not, well, then, you know, go root for the Jaguars. Drake in Texas. Drake, you're in the playbook.
Yeah, how you doing, John?
Good, Drake.
Yeah, I was just wanting to point out that, you know what, the Patriots are not the very first team to do this. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is always doing it. He's overinflating the balls. And even Eli Manning's always doing it. So, I mean, we're not the first one. It's just, I guess, everyone hates the Patriots. That's the reason why it's such a big deal.
That's part of it. And you're right. I think it's kind of curious to note that all this other stuff about Aaron Rodgers overinflating them and Brad Johnson of the Tampa Bay underinflating and scuffing them, you know, just in an effort to be able to get the ball more to their liking. And what needs to be shown here is whether or not, you know, whether they're overinflating or underinflating, it doesn't matter. Is it still within the legal bounds? Is it still within the rule book? If it's still within the rule book, this is a non-story. And if it's not within the rule book, guess what? The rule book says $25,000 fine. There
I
you go.
I just don't think it's such a big deal that people are calling out the Patriots. Oh, Bill Belichick should be suspended for a whole year, and Tom Brady should take the blame.
Well,
and
those people,
and they don't deserve to be there. I mean, I don't think it's such a big thing. I mean,
Drake, those people don't know what they're talking about, and those people probably are already haters to begin with, and they're certainly not fans.
You're not supposed to underplay them, but I mean, find the Patriots, maybe, I don't know, like, $500,000.
But see, but Drake, see, this is where I think the NFL is going to have a hard time proving it. Because let's, again, the analogy I said earlier, and I think it bears repeating again here so everybody understands what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We understand that the Patriots like to be able to grip the football in wet and cold weather. And so they're probably going to go on the lower side of the allowable weight. You follow me, what I'm saying here? And then because of the conditions that existed on the field, and plus that it was an extra 20 to 30 minutes that the ball sat there because the NFL delayed the start of the game themselves, that's more time for pressure to be lost on the footballs, just like you lose pressure on your tires in cold weather in your car, okay?
Yeah.
So the Patriots may not have done anything wrong. And I know that's going to piss off a lot of Patriot haters. They might not have done a damn thing wrong.
Yeah, and I just want to point out another thing. They did realize that balls were underinflated at halftime. They changed all the balls. They replaced with the NFL balls, the 12 balls from the NFL. And, I mean, LeGarrette Blount scored like 3 touchdowns the other half, and then Tom Brady scored another touchdown. I mean, so they did change the balls halftime, and then even though we still scored about 4 touchdowns, I mean, I don't think the ball had anything to do with it.
No, it did not.
And I think that's the reason why the Colts are saying that, you know what, we just got beat.
Correct. And they're doing the stand-up thing. No, this had nothing to do with the game, which to me.
They take the balls and we still score 4 touchdowns.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
I remember that, you know what, everyone paused. They changed the balls because the word came out, and then the official knew when they changed the balls. I remember that play. It was on the, what was it, like an R-red zone?
Right.
Yeah, and they changed the balls.
Oh, I think Drake, I did not hang up on you. We just lost your cell. Thank you for the phone call. All right, I'm going to get back to the phones in a second. Let me get some of these tweets and some of these emails in here because so many of you contribute. I'll try to get in as many as I can. As I say every week, I do read them all, okay? I do read them. So I'm going to take your opinions if you're going to take the time to offer it, I'm going to take the time to consider it. Jose says, this is a successful team, something a lot of teams would kill for. The balls are not deflated by a team member. That's BS. Well, I think that is BS, Jose, because frankly, you know, it'd be easy to get caught. Okay, we know where the balls are. They come out of a bag. It's already on the sideline that, you know, out of the Patriots' hands once they get done before the game. Simple as that. He says, I also live in North Carolina. I've got used to the haters out here saying New England is a cheating team. Well, it sounds to me like you're going to have to continue to think that a little bit. Here comes a good one. From a guy whose handle is Shoptimus Prime. And I went back and forth with him a little bit earlier, and he said, you know, and I'll try to explain to him exactly what I just explained to you. And he sent me 2 tweets follow-up that I want to read here. He says, fair enough, I've come to the conclusion I'm naive. There's a gray area around which rules matter and which can be broken. And that's a good point by him. But here's where I think he's also on point. I just think the organization has shown a history of putting success before integrity, and that can't be swept under the rug. And as much as it hurts to say it, he's right. He's right. There has been a history of putting success before integrity. We learned that a few years ago. The Saints went through the same thing a few years ago with the whole Bountygate thing. And if the Patriots are found guilty of anything that they could have controlled themselves and not Mother Nature, then I think, yeah, then the Patriots, like I said earlier, they only have to look in the mirror at who's at fault here. They are at fault for whatever reason it might be. You're laughing in there, Kev.
Have you, we haven't touched on it. We've been kind of under the siege with all the phone calls and the emails. Brandon Browner has had a tweet out in the last 15 minutes.
Right.
Did you see it?
Yes, I read it.
Sorry.
You missed it. Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah.
But that's hilarious.
It was hashtag
inflate this.
Inflate this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure you got to.
Yeah. I know. I got it. And he's right. And I think all the guys are going to take that. And that's why tomorrow is going to be – the NFL needs to come out and say something. Otherwise, it's going to be mayhem.
Hopefully we can
tomorrow.
Get in hashtag inflate this trending.
Yeah. No kidding. Inflate this. Yeah. Start – yeah. Let's do that. Let's get that trending. Inflate this. There you go. So if you're on Twitter or you have a Twitter handle, hashtag inflate this. That needs to be right up there with Deflategate, I think. Maybe even more so. Okay, what else we got here? Let me get a couple of emails because we had about 30 of them come in right at once. And I want to make sure that, you know, we get at least a representative few of them because, again, you take the time. Let's see here. Where are we here? Marcus in D.C. said, an article came out today in the New York Times that discussed how Eli Manning and the Giants prepare all of his game balls during training camp. You're telling me this isn't outside the rules? The refs dropped the, excuse the pun, ball on this one and let the underinflated balls into play, and now everyone is trying, he says, to CYA. Could be. James from Denver says, here's a wild what if. What if the balls were planted because people hate the Pats so much? Highly unlikely, but anyway, I feel that this is the only bad if they can prove a player or a coach tampered with the balls or paid someone to do it, maybe. Dan in San Antonio, if all these accusations are true and the team, Brady, BB, knowingly did this, I will be devastated. They had such a great year. We had this feeling of something special this season. Plus, we didn't need this to beat the Colts. I put so much of my own energy, money, and emotions into this team, the whole year and the Super Bowl has been ruined for me. I feel like I want to hang up my Patriots jersey and cap and be done with them. Dan, you are certainly within your rights to do that. I'm not going to tell you what to do and what not to do. But I would tell you that if you do this and you allow this to devastate you before you truly understand what has occurred here and look at the bigger picture overall, then there's going to be no salve for the wound that has been created for you. You created it yourself, and you have only yourself to answer to. And if you can't live with what, you know, has gone on here, then you are within your rights to hang up your jersey and cap and go find another team to follow. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. Hopefully, you know, if you're not listening live, then you'll listen to this on the podcast and you'll understand what it is I've been trying to get through to you. You know, this may not entirely be the Patriots' fault if the NFL, and I think it's highly unlikely that they can prove it, but if the NFL proves that someone had control over this, there will be a fine to pay. And if it goes deeper than that, then there might be a draft pick to pay. But suspension? I mean, we're overreacting here. I've heard guys on local radio say, you know, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, pundits, and I use that term loosely here, guys like Stephen A. Smith and Michael Wilbon who are saying, oh, suspension for a year, fired, kick the Patriots out of the Super Bowl. Come on, guys. You're just trying to make noise so people will pay attention to your nonsense. Because you couldn't possibly really think that. You couldn't. Because the crime, the punishment wouldn't meet the crime. We all know that the Patriots push the envelope. I've said that how many times already today? A dozen or more? We know that they do. If you think that the NFL needs to come down on the Patriots to keep them from pushing the envelope, that's a fair point. But then you'd better be prepared to do that to 31 other teams. Because there are 31 other teams in the National Football League who push the envelope and try to win. Some of them just do it better than others. Michael in Madison, Wisconsin says, any chance at all that a Patriots hater or some indie insider did this amount of the footballs to create this controversy? Given the Patriots' history or reputation, it probably would not be totally out of the realm of possibility. Someone was trying to set the Patriots up for a fall. I'd say anything's possible, Mike, but I kind of doubt it. But I would just say anything's possible. I'm not I don't know. Donald sent this transcript from Mike and Mike on ESPN with Jerry Austin, a former NFL official. Mike Greenberg, if the balls were checked at halftime and found to be underinflated, would they then be pumped up to meet regulation, meaning they would have been played, would have played in the second half with balls that met regulation? And Austin said, to my understanding, that's what would have occurred. They would have brought the balls back up to standard. Greenberg, but you don't know one way or another if they did that. Austin, I don't know that for a fact, but it would really surprise me if it did not happen. If they brought them in to check them and they're underinflated, then they're going to inflate them to get them back up to standard. Okay, see, the guy doesn't know anything. So the balls that are put in play are going to be legal footballs. They might have caught one. And if you're telling me that the bag of balls had underinflated balls, well, first of all, they had more than 12 balls in the bag. I believe they had 24 in the bag, and I think that's what a lot of people are failing to realize. They put extra balls in the bag. Why do you think they did that? Because of the weather. And they wanted to make sure they had dry footballs available. So they actually took better precaution, tried to anyway, and voila, you've got more balls. That's why 11 of 12, that's really not entirely the story, and that's something, to me, Chris Mortensen failed to report. So for all of the Mort report, you know, astonishing scoop that he had there, how did that point get left out? There were more than 12 balls in the bag, folks. Were the Colts footballs inspected, said Scott. There's a report they were checked at halftime. Were they reinflated for the second half? Far as I know, the Colts balls were inspected. And they were certainly inspected before the game, just like the Patriots were. Were the Colts balls tested at halftime, says Ross in Canada, or just to start the game? I can't answer that, and I'm sure that's probably a detail that the NFL is probably trying to figure out for themselves. A lot of football deflate this and that, and a lot of the same stuff here. Let me see if I can get to some of the ones that have also been had in the last little bit. Mike in Madison sends another note. He says, if there's really nothing to this at all, why don't Belichick and Kraft just not come out and say so? They should know one way or the other. Obviously, there is some legitimacy to this, or they, especially Kraft, would have already made a strong statement to support and protect the franchise. If other franchises do this as well, then why are the Patriots the only ones ever getting caught? Very sad and nauseating. Well, Michael, I think it's pretty easy to see why they haven't said anything, because they don't know what technically they're being accused of yet. The NFL hasn't finished its investigation. There's very little they can say, because why would they say something and then the NFL come out and say exactly the opposite? You know, let's say, we're sorry, we're sorry, we're sorry, and the NFL then to say, what are you sorry for? You didn't do anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? And let's put it on the other shoe. Let's put the shoe on the other foot, rather. What if the Patriots say, we didn't do anything, and then the NFL somehow comes out with, well, yeah, you did. Well, then what does it make them look like? So you have to wait until everything is done before you say anything. That's the frustrating part. This is why, Michael, the NFL has to come out and say something first. And then the Patriots can react appropriately. And trust me, they will. If there's a fine to pay, if there's, you know, if they go off the deep end here and they have some kind of a suspension involved, then yeah, the Patriots will make an appropriate comment at the appropriate time. This is not the appropriate time. It's just not. I know you feel like you want somebody to stand up for their team and there's no way we could do this, but that's not how you do it. You have to put yourself in their position. Because if you open your mouth and you say something without knowing the entire story, I mean, you don't know. Maybe some ball boy is rogue and did get a few bucks from somebody to doctor up the balls. We don't know. That's the entire issue. We don't know. And I believe that's been the, you know, the WTF part of What's the Focus Wednesday on the program. We don't know. How many times do I have to say that? That's I'm not sure. Paulina says, this whole topic has just gone through my mind since yesterday, and honestly, I think it's so stupid. First of all, how is a midfield linebacker who hadn't any experience catching balls, probably didn't know anything of physics, how in the freaking world did he notice the ball was deflated? Well, he was tipped off to it. And like I said, I believe, in all honesty, Paulina, this was something that started back in the game in Indianapolis in November. And I really believe that the Colts said, you know, hey, this feels a little funny. All right, the Patriots want to do this. Let's play with them. So they notified, hey, take a look out for this. Be on the lookout for this. That's all. They're just playing. This one comes from Andre in Brazil, who says he's 5,160 miles away from Boston, says he's from the south of Brazil. And you'd imagine it'd be just fine with all this underinflated ball craziness, but I went to a Walmart wearing my Pats cap, and four guys screamed cheaters to me. I just cannot believe that this ridiculous story is smashing my excitement about the Super Bowl. I'm embarrassed and sad because it really doesn't matter if we win the Super Bowl. If nothing illegal happened, the integrity of our season is over again, and it makes me angry. This was the opportunity of winning the first Super Bowl after Spygate, the Super Bowl that nobody may say we won because we cheat, and now even that's ruined. I think that's the way a lot of Pats fans are feeling right now. Even if the NFL says in the next few hours the Colts' balls were just as underinflated, our Super Bowl is ruined. Andre, I totally understand your feeling, and because you are so far away, it's probably difficult to gain a lot of information. So I hope that, you know, you're listening to this program today will give you at least some ammunition to fight back with if you choose to do so. The fact of the matter is that, you know, I think even in a country like Brazil, where football is the soccer is the sport, soccer is taken with the same kind of passion there, if not more so, than football in this country, then I think your friends who screamed or people who screamed cheaters at you probably realize that that probably goes on in their own sport as well, that people will do anything to gain an advantage, that it's all about remembering who wins and who loses. And I would argue that even if the Patriots did cheat in this instance and get slapped for it or get suspended or fined for it or whatever happens, I would argue that in another 5 years that this is probably going to be a mere footnote to the 2014 season. We'll largely forget about it. I mean, right now, do you even remember really all the details of Spygate? Do we remember all the details, really, the sordid details of Bountygate? No, you got to go back and Google it. And don't go use your pocket brain to figure that stuff out. Off the top of your head, do you remember the exact details? No. You come close to remembering who won and who lost. That's what people remember. I would only tell you that, you know, if you're having a hard time with that and you feel the need to not wear your cap or your jersey or whatever, that's entirely up to you. If anything, you know, if I'm wearing a cap or a jersey, I'm wearing it more now than ever before because I'm defiant to the very end. Just because someone may have, you know, pushed the envelope on the rules doesn't take away from my enjoyment at all. In fact, like we suggested earlier in the program, the guys down the hallway here, they're going to use this to their advantage. And so this really should be a sort of a, this should make you happy as a Pats fan. Because I think these guys are going to use this as a tremendous boulder on their shoulder next week. Seattle's very good, people. It's a great football team. There's a reason why they're defending champs, and there's a reason why they made it back to the Super Bowl. They're good. They'll be the best team the Patriots have faced all year, and that's the way you really should want it in the championship game. That's the way you should want it. All right, let me get back to the phones here. And Kat in Chicago. Hi, Kat. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John. So I wasn't upset about this really earlier, but now, you know, I've listened to PFW and now I'm listening to you, and I just, we got to rally the fans here because this is crazy. Like, this is a deliberate attempt by haters who just want to try to bring us all down. This isn't, I mean, think about it. In 20 years, people are going to be, nobody will remember this. They're going to remember that the Patriots won the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. which I really think that we're going to. And this isn't even going to be talked about. The fact of the matter is that if you want to talk about cheaters and you want to talk about all that, where was all the talk last year with the Seahawks when they had seven guys over the whole year flagged for PEDs? Seven guys. That's the most of any team. And by the way, since the Seahawks started with Pete Carroll, since he became their head coach, they've had the most PED violations of any team in the NFL.
Okay. That's good.
So, we have to talk about that. I mean, if you want to talk about cheating, let's talk about something like that. A couple of balls that nobody, first of all, how are they going to prove this? We all know that there's no way that they can say, oh, God, Brady or Belichick or this, come on. There's no smoking gun here. This is circumstantial, and they're never going to be able to prove one way or the other what actually happened unless someone comes forward and says, oh, hey, it was me.
Right. And exactly what I said earlier, and you're 110% correct.
Right. So So there's not going to be any year suspension of Belichick. That's crazy. They can suspend Carroll for all of his PED stuff. Why would they suspend someone for balls?
No question.
It's so ridiculous.
And I understand there you know, it seems to be a little bit of a sense of, well, we got to do something because of all the other crap that happened earlier this year in the NFL with all the whole Ray Rice story and all the other arrests that were going on. And frankly, no, there doesn't have to be, because this is like, this is comparing apples to oranges.
Absolutely. And so all I have to say to the Patriots fans out there is that haters are going to hate. That's just what they do. You got to let it just run off your back. Don't listen to it, and get your satisfaction from the fact that people are so scared of Belichick and Brady
that they want to tear you down
with
yeah.
crazy crap like this
yeah.
to make themselves feel better.
Right.
And that in 20 years, nobody is going to remember it. And we are going to have had one of the greatest teams of all time and the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I frankly think you're spot on. And that's why, you know, you don't want to jump to conclusions. And those that are really upset with their team, I understand why on the surface you would be. But you've got to understand what the real story is. And that's why we have to wait for all of the information to come out. And if somebody is guilty, they'll pay a fine and they're going to move on with it. And, you know, and you'll see the Patriots handle it that way. And trust me when I say this. That's one thing that has been ingrained in this organization from the get-go, from the time that the Crafts bought it, and certainly even more so since Bill Belichick came in as head coach 15 years ago. These guys look for every little slight that they can get, and they use it as master motivators. That's what they do, and this is a huge slight. And, you know, I mean, just like Brandon Browner's tweet a little while ago, you know, hashtag inflate this. Frankly,
right.
Everybody in this team is going to come up with that. And like, yep. You really think a bunch of deflated balls are the reason that we, you know, beat the Colts and that we're doing things illegally? Hey, let me show you. You know, what's going to be the crime here is the way we're going to beat down you on the football field. That's going to be the crime. And I guarantee you every one of those guys are going to think that. If I were in that locker room, I know I would be feeling that way right now.
Yep. And that's good. Yeah, I say good on the players, and fans, get with it.
Yeah.
Get with the program. That's what we need to do to rally behind this team.
Yeah, show some strength. Show some intestinal fortitude, right?
Yep, exactly.
It's called knowledge for knowing you're right.
Yep.
Kat, that's great stuff.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. Let me grab a couple of more here, and then we'll get back to the phones. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free telephone number. We've been rolling right through it today. Webradio@patriots.com on the email. Let's see. Randy from New Orleans, I find it interesting that it came from an Indianapolis news source. Not only that, why don't we have a leaked report on the Colts footballs for the game? I felt somewhat embarrassed when hearing the story at first, but after the Ravens came out and said that balls were deflated as well, it kind of tainted the story for me. The refs not only checked the balls before the game, but then there's no way for anyone to tamper with them before the game. I'm not making excuses, but give me something concrete. I think we just did. Ravens also said it had no effect on the outcome of the game. They did say that it's a non-story, it's a non-issue. We've had two noted officials from the NFL say it's a non-story, it's a non-issue. Naturally, the media is blowing it up like you know, it's ridiculous. I heard Bob Kravitz, gentleman who's the former Colts reporter for the Indy Star, and he's now with WTHR.com in Indianapolis. I heard him on Dennis and Callahan on WEEI in Boston this morning. And I think he's generally considered to be a good journalist. You know, he's certainly not going to make stuff up. But I think he's overstating the importance of the story. And I know he's saying, and he said this morning, he's talking about this is, really has nothing to do with what, you know, who won and who lost the game. Even the Colts are saying that we would have gotten our butts beat if it hadn't have been this way. But his claim was that this speaks to the integrity of the game. And to that end, I don't disagree. But there isn't a black and white. There's gray. Okay, integrity of the game, how? I mean, if you're doing something, if you're not, you know, it gets back to the old adage I've heard many, many times, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. That's overstating it because nobody's advocating that. What you're advocating, though, and as I've said all along, and this is what I maintain, and I've said this, I appeared on a radio show in Charlotte, North Carolina yesterday. I appeared on a radio show in New York the night before that, you know, and that's fine. I don't mind doing that to try to explain, you know, my take, my view. And this is where I've maintained it all over the course of the last 2 days. The Patriots are well known for pushing the envelope, and I've said this phrase countless times already today. And I continue to say it because I think we need to beat it into people to make you understand that, you know, what they do isn't necessarily illegal. See, I also believe, and this is my own personal belief, but I believe that the Patriots and other teams, it's not just New England here, but teams have this like laundry list of stuff they see their opponents do. And they're like, okay, well, so-and-so's getting away with this, so why don't we try that? Or, hey, if they're getting away with this, then maybe we can get away with the same thing. And I really believe, in this case, Bill Belichick probably has evidence of teams doing things that are also maybe skirting the rule of the law. And maybe not within the spirit of the sport, so to speak. But he's not going to rat anybody out. Why? Because he's got his own way of handling things, and that is, all right, you're going to play that way, I'm going to play this way. And I really believe that's part of Bill Belichick's modus operandi. I really believe that. Just like I said earlier, the Colts initially making a statement about a football being deflated back in November when the Patriots whipped them in Indianapolis. Why would they do that? Because they're pissed off they got beat? I'm sure that's the germination of it all. Why else would they do it? They didn't realize that it was going to take on a life of its own self like it is now. There's no way. But they did it because they probably have that same list of things that teams do, that teams get away with, that we know that you're probably skirting the rules here, and this is just another one on the list. All right, guys, you want to do this? That's fine. Check mark Patriots deflated footballs. All right, got it. All right, we see them again. Let's bring it up. Well, guess what? They're in the AFC Championship game. Guess what? They bring it up. Why? Because they're busting our balls. That's why. It's what they do in this sport. And I don't mean footballs now. It's what they do. This is what you do in the NFL. You bust chops. It's really, I don't think it's any more difficult to understand than that. It's all about gamesmanship. And this is when it's gotten out of hand. It's not this, I mean, honestly, does it speak to the integrity of the game? Not so much as it speaks to the immaturity in the game. You want to get technical? That's what I really believe here. We got a bunch of schoolboys, you know, basically pissing on each other's fire hydrants. That's what we got going on here. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut says, John, couldn't agree with you more. When you take all of the evidence, like Rodgers overinflating balls, Brad Johnson paying to scuff up balls, etc., combined with the refs who touch every ball multiple times, not noticing, or wink, wink, not caring to notice, makes this seem like a league-wide accepted practice. Thank you! Ding, ding, ding! Then you take the fact, Howard says, I'm certain, there are people who revel in watching the Patriots, and specifically Bill Belichick, have to deal with another distraction prior to the biggest game of the season. And those same people get to play gotcha to the organization that is held up as the model franchise. Bingo! Haters will hate, and is one of the best franchises in the league. That's just something we as Pats fans need to live with. You know, Howard, I've long thought, you've been around for 14 years with this show, because I remember you as one of the original emailers that I ever answered here when we launched this program back in 2001. And you're still contributing today, and you're still one of the all-time best. Good on you, mate. What else do we have here? Tony in Houston, Texas. John, I'm a diehard Boston fan from New Hampshire, and ever since I joined the Marines in 98, I've always been the only fan wherever I lived. I watched the first 2001 Super Bowl in Pakistan and was the only fan there. In 2003, I watched it in Kuwait, and I was the only fan there. In 2004, we had moved to Houston, where I am now, and again, I'm the only fan around. Fast forward to the present day. People hate our beloved team even more. Yes, it is too bad. It hurts. But hey, people are going to hate you when you're on top. This just gives them an explanation that helps them cope with being a second-place team even more. Bottom line, no one is shooting at us. The only shots that will be fired will be Brady throwing bullets to Gronk, LaFell, and Edelman in 10 days. We will all survive, and the Patriots have something else to keep them united. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, we're 2 for 2 between Howard and Tony. That's an excellent, excellent email. Julio says, first off, big fan of the show. Without the show, being a Pats fan in Texas would be borderline lonely. I just want to say that if we, in fact, deflated the balls for Tom, what's to say if they were up to the standard PSI that Jackson even gets that interception and throws, and those 7 points never even happened for the Colts? So if anything, the Colts should thank us for keeping them alive in the game. It's one way of looking at it, I suppose. Oh, goodness. Steven in San Antonio, I heard a report the refs were notified at the halftime of low inflated balls. Makes sense. The ball was switched out on the first play of the third quarter. Third quarter was when the game exploded, so it should be a non-issue. It is a non-issue. Thank you. Isn't this similar to the Jets telling the refs to watch for pushing on the field goal last year? Yes, it is. Okay. Some of us now, Kev, I think some of us now are beginning to get this. Some of us are starting to get clued in, I think, a little bit here. My name is Jonathan. I'm listening to you guys from L.A. If the balls have less pressure, it makes it easier to catch, right? Well, wouldn't that benefit the opposing defense? Something that nobody else has brought up. I suppose that's probably also the case. All right, looks like one more here. Joe in Kansas City says, I need you to console me, John. The problem with you saying the cold weather decreased the pressure in the footballs is that the Colts' balls were supposedly not underinflated. There are rumors the Colts were ready for the underinflated balls prior to the game. If this is true, it makes sense that the Colts would ensure they are complying with the rule. They plan on accusing the Patriots of breaking. Did the Colts monitor their balls throughout the game to make sure they had adequate pressure? Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to stop reading that because, Joe, I think I explained this away earlier. You have 2 pounds of pressure to play with. The legal limit is 12.5 PSI to 14.5 PSI. You go over 14.5 PSI, you are overinflating. If you are under 12.5 PSI, you are underinflating. You might be right. And if you are right, and the Colts were, you know, trying to, you know, well, why didn't the Colts get caught? Well, maybe they inflated their balls to 14.5 or 14. And so losing a couple of pounds, guess what? Not going to make them illegal now, is it? If you're inflating them to the limit, hey, who's to say maybe they didn't even go over a little bit just to make sure that they'd be at the limit? See, we don't know, and that's why this whole thing is just it's pure, unadulterated silliness. It's just silliness. I don't even think this is a comparison to Spygate. I really don't. Spygate, you know, to a lot of people, you know, you're attacking the integrity of the game because you're trying to get an advantage over another. This was not trying to get an advantage over another team. This was trying to do what you feel is in your best interest for your team. This had nothing to do with the other guy. If underinflated balls were a factor in the game, and they weren't, and we've already said that, and we've already agreed, I think, hopefully, to understand that that's not the case here. That did not give the Patriots an advantage. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that it was, then, you know, it doesn't compare to what Spygate was, because Spygate literally was trying to steal somebody else's signals. Wasn't that what that was all about? To hopefully gain a little bit of a competitive advantage, because you knew kind of maybe what was coming at you and what a team's tendencies might be? This particular instance had absolutely nothing to do with the Colts. It had everything to do with the Patriots. So this is not a comparison to Spygate, keep people. It's just that, you know, this whole gate, Watergate, Spygate, Deflategate, it's because it's easy and it's catchy and it naturally gets tied together because we have a tendency to just to overdo things. We just do. That's what we do. We're humans. We make mistakes. The stupidest dadgum thing I've heard in a long time. Debbie in Tennessee. I'm work in Tennessee wearing my Pats t-shirt. My birthday is this week, and I got to pull a wrapped gift out of the birthday drawer, and look what I got. Totally out of the blue. I had to laugh. Thankfully, my coworkers weren't mean, and we all had a laugh. Okay. Well, hopefully you can actually wear that t-shirt with some kind of pride. You know? I hope. Let's see. Aaron says, Rook, Spygate's a farce because every other team is guilty of it. Pats were only pro because they're a dynasty team. Let me stop you there, Aaron. Patriots got caught of doing some of the teams had been doing for years. And when they were told, you can't do that anymore, they continued to do it based on what they thought their interpretation of the rules were. The NFL said, no, no, we're pretty clear, you can't do it. And the Patriots said, well, what about that? And they said, no, 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 you can't do it. And so that's why they got slapped with a fine, a big one. And that's why Bill Belichick's integrity himself took a huge hit back then. So every other team may have been guilty of it, but because they were pro, because they're a dynasty team, no. It's because they kept doing it, and they got caught doing it. And it's kind of like, God, didn't we tell you not to do this? And so that's why, again, this whole thing makes no sense at all. Why would they want to go through Spygate again? They wouldn't. It's a non-story. But, you know, Robert Kravitz, Kate of WTHR, Bob Kravitz and Chris Mortensen and some of these other people, you know, they see an opportunity here, and, you know, maybe their website needs
hits.
Is
that the guy that sings American Woman?
Right, we should look at that. No, that's Lenny Kravitz, right? Isn't Lenny Kravitz going to be on at halftime?
I think he's going to be performing with Katy Perry.
He's going to be with Katy Perry, right?
Maybe the Bob Kravitz out there, too.
We do. No, then the tomatoes would come flying from half the stadium, probably, right? Yeah. Robert says, you guys are doing a great show as usual. Been reading all the Deflategate tweets. I'd like to suggest a hashtag for Patriot Nation. Hashtag embrace the hate. It's probably a good one, too. All right. Hashtag inflate this. Hashtag embrace the hate. See if we can make either one of those trend on Twitter. Get after it. Doug from Brazil says, soccer here is an absolutely much worse. Cheating is like an everyday deal. The thing, we're going to the Super Bowl, and you probably can find something about every single team in the league. Let's go to Arizona and kick some Seahawks' ass. Let's not forget about an entire season beating every good team in the league. Let's get back to football. Okay. Well said, Doug. Well said. Minette says, despite all the controversy, my son and I are still proud of the New England Patriots. My son, who is 10, gets teased and bullied every single day in school for liking the Patriots and wearing his Pats beanie every day. We live in Idaho. It feels like we're the only two who love the Pats here, but he still wants to wear it. I think that speaks to your teaching him what loyalty is all about, Minette, and congratulations to you. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for what you believe is right. This country does say innocent until proven guilty. And if they're proven guilty, then the Patriots will stand for it. That I can assure you of. They will stand for it. I'm just saying, I don't know that that's ever going to be proven, and I'm not so sure that what they did wasn't something that anybody else would have done, given the same set of circumstances, knowing it's a big game and, you know, we want to make sure we catch the ball today, so let's keep it on the lower side of legal. Okay? So he might have said, you know, hey, let's inflate it 12.5, 13. Let's keep it right there. And then they're going to sit there for 3 hours, and then they're going to deflate some more. Therefore, they become illegal. No one thinks of that beforehand. Not Tom Brady. Certainly not Bill Belichick. Not even the ball boys. I don't think they're going to think of this. I mean, put some sound reasoning behind it. Put some logic behind it. Don't just fall in like, you know, so many minions. You got to use your own brain here. Figure this stuff out, folks. Susan says, hello, first-time emailer to the program. I'm disappointed by the news of the deflated footballs today, like so many Patriots fans, but I can't thank you enough for being the voice of reason during this storm. I will always be a Patriot fan and a huge fan of your program. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Susan. That was very nice of you to say. Kevin, I might have to start my own guru website now. I don't know. What do you think? Nothing compares to Russell. We're going to have him on tomorrow to talk about this, by the way?
I plan on it.
Okay. Russell will be here tomorrow. The guru, profootballguru.com. All right, what else do we have here? Here's Melvin in Tennessee, who's been kind enough to hang on for a while. Hey, Melvin, you're in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, John?
You know what's going on, Melvin.
I've heard a couple of rumors.
Go.
A couple of them.
What are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is same old stuff. You know, I'm all with Kat, you know. I just think it's a bunch of nonsense. Nice one.
Thank you.
I like that.
I do too.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I just think it's a bunch of junk, and I don't care. But the hashtag, I don't care. I want to win the game in a couple of weeks, and we can go from there. I mean, but as long as this has been used for, you know, fuel on our team, you know, I'm loving it. You know, I mean, just like you said, there any reason, I don't care if the Patriots tied a referee shoestring together one time during the game. They're gonna talk trash about the Patriots because that's what they love to do.
Sure.
They really do, especially down here. So, you know, I just want to move on to the game. You know, I'm not gonna get into the matchups and stuff like that today, but it's gonna be interesting. I was just sitting up doing some X's and O's, you know, just thinking about it yesterday, and I'm really trying to figure out how they're gonna. Do you feel like the Patriots are gonna be more focused on Russell himself or just Marshawn Lynch? Because I feel like, although I want to stop that run with Marshawn Lynch, I feel like they're going to do a lot of setting stuff up with Russell Wilson. So which one would you lean more towards? Or do you feel like they're just...
I think you got to go both ways, honestly. Melvin, I think you can't, you know, pay attention to Marshawn Lynch and completely forget about, you know, Wilson, because Wilson can beat you with his legs too. So I think the Patriots, in fact, it wouldn't shock me at all to see the Patriots have almost somebody spy Russell Wilson. You know, whether or not they anoint, you know, someone like Jamie Collins or even Dante Hightower or someone like that in order to make sure that he doesn't get out of the
pocket. How dare you use that word on a day like today?
I know. Don't you like the irony of it all? But that's exactly what they'd be doing. They'd be spying on him. They're not going to let him loose. They're not going to let him loose. They don't want him getting loose. And that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to keep him hemmed in the pocket. So I think the Patriots feel like they'll be able to cover the Seattle receivers man-to-man. And if they're able to do that, then they can dedicate somebody to Russell, and they can, you know, tighten up things up front in order to let Marshawn Lynch, you know, be kept in check. And if they do that, I think the Patriots feel like they're going to be in pretty good position. I actually think New England matches up pretty well, shocking as it may be. I think they match up pretty well with Seattle, and I can understand why, all things being equal, this is pretty much a pick 'em game. And, you know, I think the Patriots have favorable matchups. That's all.
Well, like I said, I was thinking about that as far as, because I'm definitely not afraid of that passing game. I'm more concerned with that. And I also feel like, too, that whoever gets up maybe two positions, if we were to get up 10-0 or something like that, I feel like that's going to, them too, I feel like whoever can get up two positions in a game like this is going to have just a huge advantage. So it's going to be very important, you know, to get the ball going early.
I would
use ball right then, but
true.
Yeah, I would say, you know, get it going early with them, and then try to let them maybe get out of what they want to do a little bit, and make them want to throw more than likely, because I'm not afraid of their pass game. But other than that, you know, as far as all this other stuff, I don't care. It's a bunch. I'm not saying I don't care, but I feel like this is probably one of, like I said yesterday, just balls. I feel like this is one of the most overblown, dumbest things I've ever heard before in my life. It really can be. I mean, if you sit up there and look at it, I just don't feel like that you feel like Brandon Brown said, we've been rushing the ball on you. I could have carried a tennis ball and ran you over, whatever. It's stupid to constantly sit up there and make this a bigger story than what it has to be. And I just feel like it's a commonplace. Like I said, it's nothing that should be overblown to this level.
Yep.
Definitely not.
Yep.
Definitely not.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Melvin.
Talk to y'all later.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let me hit a couple of Facebook posts here. This one is from Daryl, who says, my question is this, is gamesmanship like this appropriate in today's NFL? Personally, I say yes, despite the controversy. I love it. It's like speeding on the freeway. If you're doing 80 and a 70, you're still breaking the law, even if you're just keeping up with traffic. That's actually a pretty good analogy. And Daryl also says, John, thank you for speaking peace and civility to Pats Nation. The first lesson I ever learned in the Army was to embrace the suck, and that's just what we've got to do here. Yep, you got to embrace the suck. I know that that's a big thing in the Army and the Marines especially, you know, having relatives who have been in the military, and they've talked about that frequently. And I absolutely understand that. So embrace the suck, and that's what you got to do here. If you're a Pats fan, you know, you still got to, you know, stand up for what you believe in. And I think ultimately, you know, in some form or fashion, there will be some vindication here. But haters are going to hate. And I said that yesterday, and I think the story still stands today. What else do we have here? Mm-hmm. Benjamin says, this is all so stupid. Yeah. Let's see. Robert in Virginia posts, I guess I need to change my son's name, Brady, after Tommy. Not going to happen. I'm a true fan until the day I die. People just need to grow up. Fans who burn and destroy their jerseys are not true fans. Let's see. Deborah says, look what I pulled out of the birthday gift bag. It's January birthday employee today, work here in Tennessee. Wearing my Pats t-shirt, I had to laugh. People weren't too mean to me. Go, Pats. You have to laugh instead of cry. Oh, ha! She sends me a picture of a tire gauge. That's good. That's good. You're right. You got to laugh because it's silly. It's stupid. Onique. John, after the scandal or whatever you want to call it, I've learned to embrace the hate for the Patriots. As like you said, haters going to hate regardless of the incident and the outcome. There have been and always will be those who are going to be peanut butter and jealous of the Pats. Even if this scandal had not come out, the haters would still have a reason why the Pats won or lost. I have read such immature and unintelligent comments on Facebook posts and reports from the haters. It's ridiculous. Pats fans should just follow the current players and past players and ignore the white noise and just kick butt every game. We need to get back to talking football. Agreed. Robert says, John, I'm listening right now. I love the balanced and objective way you're handling the story. As far as I'm concerned, this doesn't bother me because if it were not this story, well, they'd have manufactured another story. They hate us. They hate Bill Belichick. They found a low-hanging fruit because, you know what? Well, they'd rather be in the Super Bowl than us. Of course they would. Go TB12. Go BB. Go Revis. Go Gronk. Go Edelman. McCourty. Patriots, we're on to Seattle. Let's go. Toso in Lincoln, Rhode Island. This report that was brought to our attention last night is propaganda because it isn't certain that the Patriots tampered with these footballs. Even if they did, I don't care. We're hated. We're looked as cheaters anyway, so everyone can hate us as we go on to win another Super Bowl. And he says, I kind of like the controversy. It gives us something interesting to talk about. Yeah. Toso, it certainly has done that this week. There's no doubt about that. Let's see. Young Koshan says, if the league was smart, they would have announced the results of the deflated balls after the Super Bowl was played. What better motivation for the Pats than BB standing in a meeting drilling his team about how the world just doesn't think that they're a week and a half before the Super Bowl? Every team tries to get a competitive advantage. We're just constantly under a microscope because of the success we've had in recent years. Richard says, we have the Colts to thank for all these pass interference calls because they complained about the Pats being too rough on the receivers after a playoff game they lost. That's right. It's called the Ty Law Rule. Bill Polian got upset about that years ago. Well, Richard says, now they're complaining about how much air is in the football, and that's going to upset just about every quarterback in the league because the reports are that they all like to monkey with how much air is in the football. That's another bingo, Richard. You're 110% right about that. Quarterbacks like to do that. They don't want to play to a standard. They like feel different. And if they feel better, then they feel like they're going to be able to throw it better. And because they know they're the focal point of a team's offense, they want to work on an optimum or work from an optimum perception, an optimum level, with the best chance they feel in their own head to have success. And if that means underinflating from 14.5 down to 13.5, then they're going to do it. Or maybe in Brady's case, from 13.5 down to the legal limit of 12.5. And, oh, you know what, shucks, I didn't think about it, but ball sitting there in the bag, you know, in 3 hours of cold weather, they're going to shrink some more. But the Patriots are being vilified for being cheaters when it might not be their fault at all. And all these people jumping off to conclusions are just, you know, look. Make up your own minds on the Michael Wilbons and the Stephen A. Smiths and the knuckleheads in the industry, and we have some. And I actually respect those guys because they're very good writers. They're playing to an audience. They're playing to passion. They're playing because they want viewers. They want listeners. You know how you get them to keep from saying stupid things? Don't watch. Don't listen. Just like you have the right to do that on this program and on PFW in Progress. Don't listen. You don't like what you're hearing? Don't listen. It's pretty simple, really. That's kind of how I look at it. I think it's pretty simple. Eldridge in North Carolina, you're up next. Thanks for hanging on, Eldridge.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm all right, pal.
Hey, man, I'm like this, John. I'd rather talk football. My brother woke me up at 6 o'clock this morning with that noise. I just told him, you know what? You hate me because we're here. So we're here now, so we just forget it.
Of course.
Ain't nobody cheating no football.
Of course.
But what I want to talk about is a little bit of football. So, like, the only thing we're worried about is Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
But Russell can throw too, and he is accurate.
Well, he has. And he has been accurate, but you know, I don't know that those Seahawks receivers have faced man to man coverage like they've seen either, and what they might see potentially in the Super Bowl. And that to me is the big question. Look, if Seattle has success in the game, Eldridge, I think it will be because Russell Wilson is able to throw over the top, and the Patriots secondary will only have themselves to blame for that.
Yes, sir. That too. But like I said, I don't know about anything. The way I'm shooting, the receivers ain't that good. But most games I see, Hurst and Baldwin, they behind the secondary. I ain't say they'll get behind Iowa, but most of the secondaries I see, they behind them. And Russell dead on the money.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Wilson the tight end.
Sure.
Dead on the money. They catch him in the stride.
Sure.
But mainly, like I said, we're going to win the Super Bowl anyway. So that way I can laugh at everybody. And I keep telling them, Brady is the best quarterback in NFL, period. I don't care what they say, but stats and records prove otherwise. Yeah.
I kind of think
that's all I got to say, John.
I think you're kind of right on that. Thank you, Eldridge. Let's see. A couple of other tweets have come over here. Let's see. Our friend Steven in Killeen says, John, I'm taking all the beef with the Patriots, and I'm making burgers. What temp do you like yours? Hashtag the hate is tasty. I actually kind of like mine medium, maybe even a little medium rare, Steve. I don't know about you, but I like a little juice in my burger. So, you know, I don't like it completely cardboarded out like Miss Robin likes. She likes hers cardboarded. I don't know how she can bake like she does, Kev, the cranberry bread that's very moist and like a cake, and how she can like her hamburger or her steak charred.
Yeah, you get no flavor there. It ruins the
meat.
You
get none. You get none. I'm just, okay.
You just ruin all the meat. You can't order a steak well done. It just defeats
every time
the whole purpose.
Every time she does that, I cringe because I keep thinking that the waiter's going to say, well, I'm sorry, miss, we can't do that.
Especially if you're getting like, you know, if you take her out for an anniversary or something and she orders like the $100 filet mignon and she gets it and it's a hockey puck.
Right. Oh, that's a crime. That's a crime upon nature.
And then if she can't finish it, which is even worse, and is like, John, here, sweetie, do you want the rest of my steak? And it's ruined for you.
Actually, it would be, but I would choke it down anyway if I'm paying $100 for it. Thank you very much. Am I lying to anybody out there?
No.
Okay, thank you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I think that's more than fair. Okay, let me see if I can get a couple of other emails in here. Some of them are very are long. Some of them are very passionate, and I want you to know I am reading them. Bob Sosi is going to also continue that in his program coming up over the next 2 hours.
Yeah, we didn't take a commercial break.
We did not take one break today, not one. And I'm sure our sponsors will, they'll be okay with that because they know that, you know, it's all about taking care of the fans here. So we're going to leave some of these for Bob as well because there's just a lot to get to. But trust me when I say this, we are definitely reading. A couple of others, though, that I wanted to get in here. Dennis says, this is nuts. It's no different than a hockey player playing with an illegal stick. If we did it, well, who cares? We probably didn't, but again, who cares? Take the penalty, move on. I don't care. If it's a rule, it's a rule. Rules get broken all the time. Go, Pats, go. Yeah, and Dennis, thank you. From somewhere in Canada by the looks of the email here. And that's fine. I understand that. Rules did get broken all the time. The Patriots aren't the only team that breaks rules, so that's why I don't get the sanctimonious, you know, pompous, you know, standoffish, you know, response from, you know, certainly players from other teams or other organizations or even media members, because it's not like they've never told a white lie in their lives, and I think this is the equivalent. If anything is proven, the equivalent of a white lie, basically. I don't think there's any more effect one way or the other. Alec in Raleigh, North Carolina says, can you please tell someone that here is a possible logical explanation for deflated football due to temperature change? If the football is inflated 12 pounds at room temperature at 75 degrees and the outside temperature where the football is used to say 20, then the pressure of the football will drop due to the ideal gas law. The gas essentially contracts to about 10.5 pounds of pressure. If this is the reason, shame on the NFL for not specifying the pressure and temperature requirements. And again, Alec, that's kind of what we're going about here. The NFL sets the rules. Patriots allegedly follow the rules. They might have gone on the low side of the rules, but they were still with the intent of following the rules, and then temperature and Mother Nature take over, then the NFL has to re-examine the rules. And this is the bigger point of it all this week when I railed against the rule book. It's full of crap. We need to simplify the game, not make more like this. Do we all want to go through this every time some rule gets pushed to the brink? No. I would very much, like many of you, I'd very much like to be able to talk about the game and like to talk about the matchups and talk about the Super Bowl and talk about, you know, the penultimate moment here. And we can't because we have to talk about underinflated balls because that's what anybody wants to talk about. And because it's a national story based on the, you know, the alleged finding of something that might be illegal. We don't even know if it could be proven from a guy who makes his living covering the team that you just beat 45-7. And I'm not really not trying to blame Bob Kravitz for this. I just called him out, but that's fine. It doesn't matter. He knows. He was on local radio, as we said earlier today. You know, somebody, if I'm in Bob Kravitz's shoes and I get this story from the team that I make my living covering, I'm going to report it. I'm going to follow up and try to do my due diligence on it. And I'm probably going to say that that it's a story. But to what extent? I don't know. And I think that's kind of what we have to get at. You have to keep things with the proper context. Mr. Sozi, I'm sure that you probably have, a couple of things to say on this particular subject.
And we'll do that, John, coming up in the show, of course. We'll do it with Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald, the outstanding beat reporter who covers the Patriots. We'll try to do it the best we can, of course, understanding that a lot of people will listen to the podcast they download as opposed to tuning in live. So by the time many will listen to this story, of course, so much will be after the fact. It's a fluid story, as we know. But look, Bob Kravitz came out with the initial report, but there have since been other reports as well. Chris Mortensen, Bob Glover from Newsday in New York as well. The NFL is looking into the matter. Ben Volen as well for the Boston Globe has just written about it. Certainly the Patriots' past, and in this case, does precede them a bit in the eyes of many outside of New England. They're is a presumption, and they're not going to be given the benefit of the doubt with any of it. But I think the important words that you stated is that, you know, there's still so much that we don't know yet. And until the investigation of the NFL is complete and until all the facts are out, I see so much of what I have seen has been a rush to judgment, especially with some of the over-the-top suggestions, including one from Mr. Kravitz, a guy who I have a lot of respect for him, and he's off his rocker, and his colleague out in Indianapolis, Greg Doyle. I think
they're both off their rockers.
That's calling
for someone to be fired.
I think that's off
their rockers,
or any suggestion that the outcome was rigged, as Greg Doyle suggested from the Indianapolis Star.
Well, Greg Doyle also knows how this game is played, and he's going to say stuff, and he's going to throw it up on the wall and see if it sticks.
Well, that's part of the problem right now in this particular story, especially, John, is the fact that, so much of what's being done, all these quote-unquote hot takes are being delivered before really most people have a handle on the information, even what's been reported. A lot of people don't have a true grasp of what's been reported this point. Beyond that, I think it's not to excuse what could have happened theoretically. Nobody's made an excuse here. But here's the thing that strikes me about it. If it was imperceptible for umpire Carl Paganelli, who's been on the field in the NFL for 16 years as an official, and if it's common practice, as we have read about with a number of quarterbacks, Brad Johnson, for example, the Super Bowl winning quarterback for the Bucs, has talked about what he did to make sure that the Super Bowl balls were conditioned. Eli Manning, Bill Pennington wrote a terrific story in the New York Times about that. It certainly seems as though there's common practice for the balls to be conditioned to the liking of quarterbacks around the league. And, I think that a lot of guys around the league have already spoken about it through Twitter and other means of social media, suggesting it's really no big deal. But that being said, nonetheless, the NFL has to do its due diligence. And again, I can understand the sentiment, not that I agree with it, but I understand where it's being directed from for a lot of people outside of New England.
Sure. And we spent most of that time talking about that today, trying to bring people, off the ledge, so to speak. And hopefully we've done at least a little bit of that. But again, you're going to make your own decision on this. And you live with that decision one way or the other. The Patriots are going to look at this somewhat bemused, I think, starting tomorrow. I think it would help if the NFL is able to come up with some kind of a statement before tomorrow. Otherwise, we could have a little bit of a circus atmosphere around here, and that would be unfortunate.
I think we'd all love that because we all want to talk about the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fabulous Super Bowl by every indication going in. There's so many great storylines involved in this particular game, even more so than any other. A lot of times you got to create storylines.
You don't have to create
anything. You've got so many different ways to look at this matchup of the Patriots and the Seahawks, and so many of them are so intriguing.
And they are. All right. So we're going to let you get to that here momentarily.
Right, John,
Bob Sosi's show is coming up. You know, thanks, everybody, for taking the time to listen. Thank you so much for, you know, all of the Facebook friendships and the Twitter follows and the phone calls and the emails. And like I said, we do read them. We get to as many of them as we humanly possibly can. You know, you can certainly keep the cards and letters coming during the off hours of the program. You can also contribute with Bob next here on the program. Tomorrow in the playbook, Prediction Thursday. I'm not sure what we're exactly going to predict yet, because I think we need to hold off on the game prediction for another week. But we're going to come up with something. And I will tell you this, that Russell Baxter will be in the playbook tomorrow, and we will talk some football, and we will get into that. And we'll probably end up talking about this if something is said between now and tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock Eastern time. But you're only going to get it, at least our, you know, take on it, if you bring it here. Stay. Bob's coming up next.
My ballroom always full, and everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.